Thank you. It's true. It's true, brother. It takes a dummy to know one. It's great. And it's got your picture up there, Steve, which always makes me chuckle. Well, who wants some good advice from Jesus tonight? You might have noticed that you might not have noticed as well, but these talks that I'm doing on a Sunday night called Christianity for Dummies is all taken from Jesus' teaching. It's Jesus' advice about life. How Jesus says how to be happy. How Jesus says, what else did we do? Can anyone remember one? Obviously, I had a deep impression on you all. How to overcome anger. How to have a good memory. Yeah, no. Okay, so let's pray and then we'll get going. This is how to stop worrying. Has anybody ever worried about anything? Not after tonight. That was awesome, wasn't it, that worship? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're here, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we've already met with you in communion. We've already met with you in praise and worship and receiving you, Holy Spirit. So wonderful. Thank you for your beautiful presence. Lord, we need you. Life is nothing without you. We're nothing without you. We need you more and more every day. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, now to come. Take the mighty words of Jesus that are more powerful than these chairs we're sat on, more powerful than this ground we stood on. You said heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Take these mighty eternal words now, and we ask you to plant them in our hearts and renew our minds with them. Set us free by knowing them. Fill us with your power now, Holy Spirit, as we listen to Jesus' teachers. Amen. Amen. This is what Jesus said about worrying. He said, therefore, do not worry about your life, about what you will eat, about what you will drink. Do not worry about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food? Isn't the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow and reap and store up goods in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much more valuable than they are? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? Look at the flowers in the fields. They don't work or make clothes. Yet I tell you that not even King Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed as good as one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into a fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Look, the pagans run after all those things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given you as well. And do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow can worry about itself. Isn't Jesus awesome? Each day has enough trouble of its own. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome, Jesus. Here's a few things we all worry about that Jesus mentioned in that passage. In fact, he mentioned all three. He gives the answer to all three. We worry about stuff, about sort of irrelevant stuff, really, but we really worry about them. We really worry about money, don't we? We really worry about our cars. We really worry about bills, houses, clothes. Someone said, worry is a waste of imagination. I read on this church billboard once, what it said, why pray when you can worry and take tranquilizers? We worry about stuff. We worry about life. We worry about relationships. We worry about our health. Worry about our personal needs not being met. We worry about our health all the time. If something goes wrong, we just imagine the worst. We don't imagine the best, do we? If you get a lump, if you get a bump, if you get a pain, you know, you start measuring out your coffin and planning your funeral songs. That's just the way we're wired. We naturally think negatively. We worry about life. I remember Corrie Ten Boom once. Corrie Ten Boom was a fantastic evangelist, lady evangelist. Traveled the world right into her 80s preaching. Thousands of people came to Jesus through her ministry. And she had a powerful ministry. And a big part of her ministry was writing thousands of newsletters and books. And Corrie Ten Boom, one day, had a big problem. She realized she contracted a very rare strain of flu that affects your eyes. And she was working there with a secretary, a helper, and she said, I've got a terrible headache. I can't work today. My eyes are absolutely killing me. I'm going to have to go to bed. And she couldn't work all day. She tried to read more. She couldn't do it. And then she was convinced. Worry convinced her that she had a special strain of flu in her eyes. And then what made it worse was the next day, her secretary seemed to get the same flu in the eyes. They were really worried, really anxious. That Corrie Ten Boom began to worry about becoming blind. And then they realized they were wearing each other's glasses. And they changed the glasses, and suddenly they had no flu, and they weren't going blind. And it's interesting, isn't it? Corrie Ten Boom said, "If I look at the world, I get distressed. If I look at myself, I get depressed. But when I look at Jesus, I find rest." It's true, isn't it? Depends where you look. You can get very worried looking at the world. You worry about the future, big time. We worry about tomorrow. We worry about what will happen, change that comes in our life. We worry about getting old. We worry about death. We worry a lot about the world. We worry about the newspapers don't help. Our minds are continually filled with negative images, negative things in the newspapers. If you read a newspaper, you're not going to come out full of hope and joy. And, you know, I'm not saying don't read newspapers. You can read newspapers all you want, but I'm saying they won't help you at all to be positive and find joy. You'll come out despair. You look at the world, she said, I look at the world, I feel distressed. And that's what you feel when you watch too much news. You read the newspapers, it's full of bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news. Some people read a whole newspaper a day. I mean, you might think, I've always read a newspaper a day. Well, I would encourage you to read your Bible every day instead. Or at least equal it. Go on then, count the words in that newspaper and read that many chapters of your Bible and see if your life doesn't change, actually. See if the positive thoughts of God don't fill you with hope and joy and truth and life and freedom in the same way that every day you're filling your mind with horror stories, lies, negativity, evil, immorality, unfaithfulness. That fills you and fills you and fills you. And absolutely destroys you. It's very important where you look. We worry about the future. Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Take one day at a time. We humans are very weak. Have you noticed that? God is, although we think we're superheroes and are absolutely awesome, we overrate ourselves slightly. We are totally mortal. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're mortal. You've been out all night drinking and you're mortal. No. Mortal means that you're not immortal. You're not going to live forever. You haven't got eternal life flowing through your veins like God has. You get weak. Does anyone need to sleep at the end of the day? Yeah, we think we're awesome, you see. People challenge if there's a God. And all these things. And if they're God, I'll sort God. But first of all,
I'm just going to go to bed for a few hours because I'm absolutely shattered. We go to the gym and pump iron and superstars. But can I go to sleep? Because I'm going to cry if I don't. You see, God shows us by the ways give us human life that actually we're very weak. We're not strong. We get so weak in a few hours that we have to, I mean, have you ever thought about sleep? You have to, wait for it, lie down. Otherwise, grown men start crying, right? You have to lie down and go unconscious for a bit. I mean, it's quite funny, isn't it? Is it just me? The fact is slightly amusing. These superstars, these heroes, these athletes, I'm just going to go unconscious for a bit to recharge my batteries. Oh, several hours, please. And then I'll wake up and, oh, great, I've got enough strength to live another day. We're not that awesome, are we? No, we're just human beings, and God has given us our life in portions of 24 hours a day. That's not just the clock. God did that through creating day and night. He gives you sleep. He gives you wake. He gives you sleep. Why? Because your life is broken up into bite-sized chunks that you can handle. One day at a time, Jesus, is not just a cheesy song. It is a fact, one day at a time. This comes from Jesus' own teaching. Do not worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. It's amazing, isn't it? He doesn't say next month, does he? Don't worry about next month. He doesn't say just 1 week at a time. No, don't worry even about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have enough trouble of its own. You just find grace, find God, find help, find strength for today. I'll meet you today. Give us this day our daily bread. It's one of the keys to overcoming anxiety, fear. How do we sort it out then? What does Jesus say? What's the answers? How do we stop worrying? What's the next little slide? Is another one there. Cheers. Thank you, Stuart. That was wonderful. The way to stop worrying, according to Jesus, is number one, have faith in your heavenly Father. Look at the birds of the air, he teaches his disciples. Look at them. They're not worried, they're not anxious, but it's your Father who feeds them every day. Every day, God feeds all the animals all over the world, all the little bugs, all the insects, feeds them all, looks after them all. Think he can handle you? I think he cares enough to handle you, his own child. I think so, don't you? Maybe you need to get to know your heavenly daddy a bit more to alleviate your anxiety and your worries about life. You have a heavenly Father who cares about you personally, immensely. Jesus said, look at the grass. Look how it's beautiful. Look how it's... Look at the colours. Look at the flowers. Is he not going to look after? Is he going to look after the field and not look after you? I mean, it's just pure logic. Jesus is attacking worry in human beings' lives through just feeding them pure logic about having a heavenly Father. Either you believe you have a heavenly Father or you don't. If you don't, you will be very anxious because guess what? You're on your own, buddy. You are looking after yourself. But if you believe you have a heavenly Father, you are no way looking after yourself. I've never once met our kids sat on the bottom of our stairs crying about the bills. I once or twice have sat on the bottom steps crying about our bills, but I've never met our kids do that. Kids don't worry about bills. Why? They have an earthly Father who has to pay them. You have a heavenly Father who's well able to pay for your bills. Maybe you need to get to know him a bit more. Maybe you need to relate to him as a heavenly Father more and speak to him because he's your dad who absolutely loves you. That's what Jesus' answer is to the first step of worry. It is have faith. He said, oh, you have little faith. You have a heavenly Father. Have faith in your heavenly Father. Stop worrying about stuff. Instead, relate to your heavenly Father. One day, I've got a daughter who works in a church in Helsinki, Anna.
Half of you know Anna, I'm sure. She's 22. When she was a little girl, Margaret was teaching her how to pray. And she was looking at her some photos one day, and she saw some photos of her wearing a nice little red leather-strapped Timex watch. And she said, "Oh, where's that watch, Mum? I don't have that watch." She said, "Oh, that wasn't your watch. That was your cousin's watch, Hannah's. You were just wearing it for the day they were visiting. I remember that." And Anna said, "Well, I'd like a red little watch like that." And Margaret said, "Well, why don't you pray and ask Jesus for a nice little red Timex watch?" "Okay, then." So she prayed, "Lord Jesus, please give me a little red leather strap Timex watch." And the next day, Anna's auntie, Margaret's sister, came to visit us. She had with her a little present for Anna. It was a red leather strap Timex watch. She didn't buy it. She worked in a wedding dress shop, Pronuptia, down in Middlesbrough. And she said the manageress that day had come in and said she bought a watch for her granddaughter and she wasn't interested in it because she's already got watches, a nice watch. So is there anyone Catherine would like to give this watch to? Catherine wasn't married at the time, so she thought of her little niece, our Anna. Is that awesome? Is that a heavenly father? I mean, is that detail or what? Flowers and fields, little birds. That is detail, isn't it? The next day, not a blue watch. Not any old will do. He's not an any old will do God. He's a God who teaches a little girl that if she prays specifically with simple faith to a heavenly father, he answers. He answers. About a week later, our Anna realized she was onto something. And she said to Margaret, "I'd like a doll's house." Margaret said, "You've got a doll's house." There's a little plastic doll's house she had one room. She said, "No, I'd like a big doll's house with two doors and upstairs rooms and all the rest." And she said, "Well, you know what to do, Anna. Come on, let's ask your heavenly father for a doll's house." So Anna, "Lord, I ask you for a doll's house, big one, two doors with da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and a roof and a lift-up roof and all the rest." And then Margaret was coming out to the shops with Anna, walking out the door, and our next-door neighbour walked out of their door. Debbie, she was called. She said, "Margaret, would Anna like a doll's house? It's brand new. I bought it for my daughter, but she's too young for it." She was 2 years younger than our Anna. She said, "She's too young for it. She's going to wreck it. It's too nice. Would Anna like it?" Now Anna stood there. "Yes, please. Big doll's house, two doors, roof, two..." Does she have a heavenly father? Yeah, about a couple of weeks after that, she said, "Mum, my bike is too small for me now." She had one of those little trikes, and she wanted a real proper bike with stabilizers. It's a bit concerning, really, because she was 19 at the time. No, she wasn't. And she with a proper bike with stabilizers. And so Margaret said, "Well, Anna, you know what to do. You have a heavenly father. He's given you a watch. He's given you a doll's house." So she prayed again, "Lord, please, a bike with stabilizers." We were around John and Julie Archer's for tea. John Archer, the comedian, he's coming back at Christmas. Did you enjoy him last year? He's going to do something absolutely awesome for us this year. Really excited about it. And we were around their house for tea. And I was away. Well, I wasn't there. I was in Kazakhstan or somewhere. Just getting some milk. No. And Margaret was there, and she told me the story. In fact, I got it off her just tonight while she was doing the ironing. I said, give me the accurate story, so I'll tell them accurately. She said, I was at tea with Julie's, and Julie said, "Oh," she said, "I've got a bike, probably for your Anna. It was Tom's, but it's too big for it now." Tom was in here this morning. He said, but it's too big for him. "I was going to give you it last week, but I knew it had stabilizers. So I've been looking for the stabilizers. And I found them now. Maybe Anna would like them. You see the stabilizers bit? Does the detail matter? Does it matter to God?" Yes. Here's a question. Does our Anna matter to God more than you? Huh? More than you? No.
No way. What, does he love her because she's a Ruddick? I don't think so. No, Jesus, listen to me, loves you equally as he loves our Anna. You have a heavenly father who loves you. Now relate to him as a heavenly father and pray with simple childlike faith and treat him like a person, for goodness sake. Because he is. Treat him like a real person. And give him the details that you would give to someone who you're asking for something. Don't, oh God, bless me. Yet, like, how? How exactly? Oh Lord, give me some money. Yeah? How much? Come on, pence. How much? 7,465 pence. You know, thank you. God loves it when we get real with him and treat him like a real person, because that's called faith. Anything else is vague religion. Oh, bless me, God, if you're up there somewhere, whatever. No, Jesus said, no, you have a heavenly father. Jesus is speaking about food, clothes. He's speaking about actual stuff. Lord, I need a car. I'm sure you do. What type would you like? Get specific. What do you need? What would you like? What do you need? What would you like? Both are totally acceptable to God. God is your heavenly father. You have a very wealthy father. You should never act as though you're poor. You should never see yourself as poor. You have a very wealthy heavenly father, and you just need to relate to him and go to him for everything you need. And that's just the stuff of life. So how much more does your heavenly father care about your healing? Or your husband's salvation, or all your kids getting to heaven with you, and those things, he cares very much indeed, and you can relate to him as your heavenly father. So you need to know your heavenly father, amen? And then you need to seek first, Jesus said, this is Jesus' advice, not mine. He said, instead of running after all this stuff and spending your whole life worrying like the pagans do, like those do who don't know God. You know God. Don't you do that. Instead, seek first the kingdom of God. The Bible opens like this. In the beginning, God, let your life open like that as well. Every day. In the beginning, God. That's how our life is to be. When God is first, everything else finds its place. When God is first at work, everything else will find its place. When God is first in your finances, everything else will find its place. When God is first in your marriage, everything else will find its place. But if he isn't, you're in trouble. Because nothing fits in the right shape hole. Why? Because someone's in God's place. Something's in God's place. So life doesn't work. Only when God is first, is God in your life, will things really work for you. So seek first, Jesus said, his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. His kingdom is where the king dwells. And his kingdom, primarily, Jesus means heaven, actually. Primarily. Don't overdo the teaching about kingdom on earth, or you'll miss the point. Jesus, the kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven. Seek heaven first. Make sure you're going to heaven first. Don't worry about your illness until your soul is saved. Don't worry about your car until you're forgiven of your sins and you know Jesus Christ. Jesus is talking about priorities here. Hey, you're worrying about stuff. You're not even saved. You're on the Titanic and you're looking through your bags for your lost hat. You are wasting your time. Get off the Titanic first. Then worry about your hat in your bags. Get your priorities right. Be saved first. Don't let heaven be a vague hope for you. Many people just assume they're going to heaven. It's frightening, actually. You know, one day we'll all be there. Will we? Will you? Says who? Jesus never spoke like that. Jesus continually warned people about the reality of hell or heaven. Hell or heaven. Go to heaven, he said. Get to heaven. Avoid this other place at all costs. Jesus' conscious teaching is full of that. And, you know, you wouldn't say to the kids, yeah, we'll go to Disneyland. Yeah, let's go to Disneyland. One day we'll get to Disneyland. Wouldn't it be great? This summer we'll go to Disneyland. We'll go to Disneyland. Have you got any tickets, Dad? No, let's go to Disneyland. Have you bought our tickets, Dad? No. Dad, the summer holidays are coming in 3 weeks. Yeah, but who likes Disneyland? Yeah, we've seen it on a couple of movies, Disneyland. We'll all end up in Disneyland. You won't all end up in Disneyland at all. To get to Disneyland, someone's got to purchase you a ticket to get in. You'll never make it through the gate. They have pretty heavy security in Disneyland. They wrestle kids to the floor and drag them off in the back of vans. No, they don't have money. But you can't get in. Anyone been to Disneyland? You cannot get in without a ticket. You must have a ticket. You must purchase a ticket. Listen, let me tell you some home truths about heaven. You couldn't purchase a ticket if you saved up all your life. You cannot get a ticket, nor can you win one in a Wonka bar of chocolate. You must go to Jesus, the ticket dispenser. You must go to the cross of Jesus Christ, where he died for your sins, as Andy was saying, and receive your personal ticket with your name on it. I am going to heaven. I've been born again. That's what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. You get that sorted, Jesus said, and all this other stuff. You saw he seek his righteousness and all this other stuff. It'll all be thrown in. All the other little stuff you need, it all gets thrown in. The cars, the houses, the money, the friends, the help, the healings. They all get thrown in when you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then when you buy a pearl ring, a pearl on an expensive ring, you don't worry about the packaging. You get that. You get the box thrown in. You get the packaging and the ribbons and everything. You get that all thrown in because you've gone for the expensive thing that matters. Don't spend your life worrying about the boxes and the packaging and the ribbons. Get the pearl of great price in your life and heart first. Then you will be blessed and have other things coming your way as well. And his righteousness. Andy's made that clear tonight. You seek his righteousness. Very interesting thing. Jesus said there, don't seek your own righteousness. Don't seek to be right. I mean, how right are you ever going to be? You aren't right, are you? People always say, I'm all right. Actually, you know, you've never been all right. We're talking about, we'd like to come to church. No, thanks, I'm all right. Actually, you're not all right. No one on this planet is all right. The Bible says you're all wrong. And only when you come to Jesus are you made right, because he's the only person who was ever all right. And he gives you his rightness. Now I'm right. I was wrong. Now I'm right. I've been righted by Jesus before God. Now I'm right. His righteousness. That's what it means. All the good stuff Jesus ever did, you get the credit for it. It goes into your bank account. God treats you as though it's yours. All the bad stuff that you ever did goes into Jesus' bank account. And God judges him on the cross as though it were his. That's the divine exchange of the cross. So, good news, eh? When you get Jesus and his righteousness, you get all the other stuff that you need thrown in, so you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about tomorrow, because you actually have no control over it anyway. Jesus said, look, you can't turn one hair in your head white or grey, so why worry about the rest? I mean, I love his logic, do you? By all the worry of your life, you can't add one moment to your life. I must stay healthy. Yeah, but you can't add one moment to your life. No matter what you do. Because you're not in charge
God is in charge. And when you let God be in charge, then all things become possible. You get it all thrown in as well. One of the most famous art collectors in the world was Baron Fitzgerald. And he had an only son. And after his son left home, he tragically died. And the Baron never recovered from this. But as his wealth increased, he continued to buy all the famous paintings that the masters had done. He became one of the wealthiest art collectors in the world. When the Baron himself died, because he collected so many famous paintings, there was an invitation that went out to all the museums and art galleries of the world to have an auction at his mansion. Going to auction all his great paintings. On the day of the auction, the lawyer read from his will. And his will said, the first painting in the auction is of my beloved son. And it was a painting of his son. It was not a very good painting. It was done by an unknown artist. None of the big museums and art collectors were interested. Got to the point where it was a little bit embarrassing. No one was bidding for it. So one of the servants at the back bid for the painting. He got it for £20. And he bought it because he knew the lad and loved him, just for sympathetic reasons. After he'd bought the painting, the lawyer continued to read from his will and said, he who buys my son gets everything. The auction is over. It doesn't matter how many times you tell that story, it's phenomenally powerful, isn't it? Because it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said. The Bible says, he who has the Son has life. But he who doesn't have the Son has nothing. Do you have Jesus tonight? Then you should be very happy. Do you have a Heavenly Father? Then you have nothing to worry about. So why don't you do me a favor? Just take your worries in your hand by faith. It's a little faith activation for you. Take your worries in your hand. Just close your eyes. Imagine them. These are real issues for you. Take them in your hand and grasp your hand tight. Get hold of those worries so you know what they are. What is worrying you tonight, brother, sister? What is making you anxious? Take hold of that problem, that need. Right, now look, face the facts. You can't do anything about it yourself. So why not offer it now to your Heavenly Father? Give it to him. Open your hand and fling it up to him and say, Father, take this for me. Deal with this for me. Father, provide this for me. Father, help me. Father, here it is. Deliver me from the burden and worry of it now. And let me have freedom and peace. And every day, Lord, help me do this. Every day as I live one day at a time. In the name of Jesus, amen.